Today, we have a guest speaker from Wheaton, Illinois. Matt Sorn is here from World Relief. Give Matt a little love, and this is the first time at Hope. Matt is here from World Relief. Matt, tell us a little about what you do for World Relief.
Sure. So World Relief, our mission is to empower the local church to serve the most vulnerable. And we do that all over the world. And I started working with World Relief in Nicaragua. But locally in the United States, we really focus on serving refugees and other immigrants. And my job is to help our local church partners and our denominational partners understand why we would want to serve immigrants. Because immigration, as you may have noticed, can be a controversial topic.
Yes.
But we feel like it's part of the call that God has placed on us to serve those who are vulnerable, which we think includes immigrants, even those who may not have legal status. So my job is to convince our church partners of that.
Great. And you're going to do that today as well, too. And Matt's going to speak in chapel today, but also he's going to be here tonight, 7 to 8:30 in Wicker's Auditorium. You'll make sure to want to come tonight and hear more about that with other panel members. Before Matt speaks, pray with us. Lord, give us ears to listen now. Lord, we want to have an expanded vision of your kingdom. So, Lord, do it now through our good brother, Matt. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Great. Well, it's really fun to be here at Hope. I've heard a lot about Hope over the years, but this is my first time here. I'm going to dive right into what can be a pretty controversial topic, the topic of immigration. And I want to challenge us to look at immigration from a biblical perspective. But actually, I'm going to start by suggesting that we look at two different biblical perspectives on how to respond to immigration. Two biblical perspectives out of the very beginning of the Bible. So at the end of the book of Genesis, we have the story of Joseph. Most of you probably know the story of Joseph. He was an immigrant. He was a forced immigrant. Today, we might think of him as a victim of human trafficking, sold into slavery by his brothers and taken to Egypt. But I don't actually want to look at Joseph as much as I want to look at Pharaoh, because I think that Pharaoh might be a good model of how to look at immigrants, how to respond to the realities of immigration. The Pharaoh in the story of Joseph saw Joseph, an immigrant, and he saw an opportunity. He said, this guy's really smart. He seems to have this connection to God, has this dream interpreting thing going on. And he gave him a lot of responsibility. In fact, ultimately, Joseph became the second most powerful person in Egypt. And he saved the country of Egypt during a time of famine. And then a few chapters later, when Joseph's family comes out of Canaan fleeing famine, Pharaoh's response is one of hospitality, of welcome. He says, here's the very best of the land. But he's still looking for an opportunity. He takes Joseph aside and says, hey, which of your brothers is the very best shepherd? Because I want them taking care of my sheep. So that's one way to look at immigration, to see an opportunity to respond with welcome. Then you flip a few pages in your Bible and you get to the book of Exodus, and you have a different Pharaoh. And it says that this Pharaoh did not know Joseph. And I think that phrase is instructive because when you don't know immigrants as individuals, but you just know there's a whole bunch of people, it's a little bit easier to respond as this second Pharaoh did, which is to see a threat and to respond out of fear. And that's what the second Pharaoh did. He saw national security concerns. There were some economic issues involved. He didn't actually want to deport the Hebrews because there was, you know, he depended upon their labor, but he didn't want to give them full, you know, rights under the law as well. And so he went to an extreme and eventually began basically a genocide of little Hebrew boys. And that was the context into which Moses was born. So we have these two different ways that people in the Bible respond to immigration. One sees an opportunity, responds with hospitality. One sees a threat and responds with fear and antagonism. And I would just suggest that we don't really know how things turned out for the Pharaoh at the end of Genesis, but we know they don't turn out that well for the Pharaoh at the end of Exodus. I want to translate that into what does that look like for us as most of us are American citizens and Christians in our society. How do we respond to the realities of immigration? My challenge would be that we should respond to the realities of immigration by seeing an opportunity and by responding with welcome. First of all, immigration is an economic opportunity, but I'm not going to focus there because I'll do a little bit more of that this evening. The economics of immigration are very interesting and often misunderstood, but I want to focus on how immigration presents a missional opportunity, an opportunity for us to live out who God calls us to be, to join God in what he is doing. So what is our mission as followers of Jesus? One of the things that God is clearly doing that we are called to join him in is in establishing justice, administering justice. This verse is from Jeremiah, and it says, "This is what the Lord says, administer justice and righteousness. Rescue the victim of robbery from the hands of his oppressor. Don't exploit or brutalize the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow." We have that opportunity as immigrants come into our community to help seek justice. Another missional opportunity we have goes to what Christians know as the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, we're told to go and make disciples of all nations. Well, we can make disciples by sending missionaries to other parts of the world, but we'd be blind if we didn't notice that God has also sent the nations to us. And that presents an opportunity as we love our neighbors, as we get to know them, to share the hope of the gospel, to share what God has done in each of our lives. And that's a two-way street. God is working through migration to draw the nations to him in multiple ways, because there are both people who come to this country who don't know Jesus, and we have the opportunity to share with them. And there are people who come to this country with a vibrant faith, who breathe new life into churches that could use some new life, and who share the gospel with people here who don't already know it. I would argue that that's not an accident. It says in Acts 17 that from one man, God created every nation of men, and he established the exact times and places where they should live. So that I have a neighbor in my neighborhood in suburban Chicago who's from Sudan, and one from Bhutan, and one from Burma, and one from Mexico, none of that is an accident. There are really important economic reasons for why they've felt like they needed to come to the United States, and geopolitical reasons. But above all that is the hand of God in the movement of people towards an end. And we find that in verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. So I see this immigration to the United States as an enormous opportunity. And if you talk to missiologists, people who study mission, God's mission, most of them would agree. I really like this quote from Tim Tennant, who's the president at Asbury Seminary in Kentucky. He says, 86% of the immigrant population in North America is likely to either be Christians or become Christians, which is way more than the national average. The immigrant population actually presents the greatest hope for Christian renewal in North America. We shouldn't see this as something that threatens us. We should see this as a wonderful opportunity. The challenge that we face is, I think if we're honest, and we have good polling data to suggest this, a lot of American Christians do not see immigration as an opportunity. A lot of American Christians, especially white Christians, which is what I am, and most of you are, it looks like, see immigration as a threat. Some of you have probably heard that sort of language, you know, around the dinner table, or you've received emails from people or seen things online from people that seem to be really afraid of immigrants, to think that immigrants are doing a lot of harm to our country or to them personally, to the economy or whatever. In fact, you know, I would call myself an evangelical Christian. If you pull white evangelical Christians, the majority say that they think that immigrants present a threat to their customs and values and that they're a burden on the economy. So the average white evangelical Christian, that's their perspective by their own, you know, admission. And my concern is that we can't see an opportunity that God has put in front of us when we're fixated on a threat. The result of that is that just 10% of churches in the United States have any sort of outreach ministry to reach immigrants, or partnership with another ministry like World Relief to reach immigrants. So 1 in 10. But 9 out of 10, that's not on the radar at all. And to be honest, probably even in that 1 out of 10, it's a handful of people in most of those churches who are doing anything to reach out to the immigrants in their community, to welcome them in, to seek to minister to them in Jesus' name. Why is that? My concern is that most of the church in the United States has bought into a narrative about immigrants that is based on politics, based on some cultural concerns and economic concerns, but not particularly based on the Bible. Even though we would probably say that the Bible is our ultimate authority, we've ditched it when it comes to immigration. Only 12% of white evangelicals say that their views on immigration are primarily influenced by their faith. It's a pretty low number, and I think that that probably is because most of us have never heard about this in church. I know I went to a really wonderful church, grew up in a really wonderful church. They taught me to read my Bible. I think I'd read the whole thing by third grade and have kept reading it, and went to a Christian college and took Old Testament and New Testament. You know, I've heard a lot of sermons in my life, but I don't think that before I started, you know, giving the sermons, I'd ever heard a sermon on immigration. You know, I've memorized a lot of Bible verses, but none of them were about God's heart for immigrants. I think it's a blind spot that we've had as the church. And it's a blind spot that we need to correct if we're going to correctly reflect God's heart and seize upon the mission that he's given us. It would be fine if we never heard about immigration at church, if the Bible didn't have anything to say about immigration. But the reality is immigration is a major theme in Scripture. The Hebrew word for an immigrant is the Hebrew word ger. And that word alone appears 92 times just in the Old Testament. And we've jumped on that idea of 92 references to the Hebrew word ger, and World Relief has helped to start a movement called the G92 movement, which is focused on helping mobilize college students all around the country to figure out, well, what do those 92 verses say? What is a distinctly biblical perspective on immigration? And I won't go through all 92 verses because I've got about 2 minutes left, but I would encourage you to come tonight because we will be able to go a little bit deeper into what the scriptures say on this topic, because there's a lot there. And there's some complex issues because the Bible also calls us to be subject to the governing authorities. Basically, we're usually supposed to obey the law. What do we do when the laws say one thing, but we're also called to welcome immigrants, and some immigrants are here unlawfully? There's a lot of complex questions there. But that's not an excuse to run away and ignore a tough topic. It's an opportunity for us to dig into God's word and put it into action. I want to give you one opportunity, a really easy way that you can do that. This G92 movement that I'm part of is doing something with a bunch of different Christian groups all over the country called the I Was a Stranger Challenge. We take that phrase from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." He identifies with those who are strangers in our communities. If you want to get involved, the I Was a Stranger Challenge is basically a bookmark. You can go print it out online or order one online. It's got 40 scripture passages. And our challenge to you would be, would you take 40 days and spend 3 minutes every morning or afternoon or evening and read one verse a day that relates to God's heart for immigrants? We think that will help to inform the way that you respond both to the immigrants in your community and the way that the church thinks about immigration policies as well. If you want to do that, you're probably not supposed to do this in chapel usually, but you could take out your cell phone and just text G92 to 877-877. You can go ahead and do that right now. I won't be offended. I'm kind of impressed that I haven't seen more cell phones out. That's great. But that's the way we can text you the information about how to get involved. And you can also go to g92.org. And with that, I just want to do a shameless plug that there is a lot more I would love to say on this topic, mostly because the Bible has so much to say on this topic, but we're out of time. So I'd encourage you to come tonight. We'll be at, I think it's Wickers Auditorium, Nykirk. I should know how to say that because I'm of Dutch ancestry, but I don't. But we'll be there at 7 o'clock, with not just with me, but a really great panel. With that, let me close in prayer real quick, and then I'll let you all go. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who watches over the stranger, who not only watches over and provides for those who are immigrants, but you identify with them and with all those who are vulnerable. God, I pray for this group of students. I thank you for this college. I pray that you would equip them to respond to the realities of those who are different than themselves and in the ways that you call them to. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.